What's up, guys? Welcome to Juice Podcast. My name is Solmon Ali, at Solmon Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Dave Hardesty, a founder of ClutchPoints.com. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. So you texted me 10 minutes ago that you're fading, you're falling asleep a little bit, and I'm here to wake you up, man. I'm here to wake you up because the fans deserve to get a podcast tonight because the Rockets have won 3 basketball games in a row. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, including the John Wall stuff, but I decided to lead with that because I don't know when I'm going to be able to start a podcast this season with that they've won 3 basketball games in a row. Tell me how you're feeling. Like, 3 basketball games in a row, you're a fan of a rebuilding team right now. Good thing, bad thing? What's going through your head right now?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I absolutely do think it's imperative that they probably end up, you know, as with a, you know, top 5 pick this year. I think that's important. But, you know, I think it's a good thing that they're getting some confidence. I mean, the way I look at it is, if organically this team wins, you know, if they're not running out there with a bunch of veterans and just, you know, accumulating wins for no real development purpose, then, you know, if it happens organically from these young guys developing, then so be it. Now, I would definitely never advocate throwing games in that regard. I just think long-term, you know, this is a long-term rebuild. I think it's really 2023-24 before the Rockets should be looking at a playoff spot. If it happens sooner, great, but I think that's when it most likely will happen, when the stars align. You know, it's just really interesting, Solomon, because I think, you know, there's so many key things here. One, Daniel Tice is sitting out. Two, Jalen Green is injured and out, and you want to see Jalen Green. He's sort of your great hope here. You want to see him developing, and they're winning without him. So I think there's a lot of reasons to think that it'll be fine when he gets back, but there's, you know, it's just they're winning with some guys that, you know, may not play when a few other things happen here.
So you mentioned Daniel Tice sitting out, and I guess that's where I kind of want to start with this, because Christian Wood, over the past 3 games, averaging 24.3 points per game, 15.7 rebounds per game, 3.7 assists per game, 2.3 blocks, and the main difference is the Rockets are playing him at center, and they're playing Jae'Sean Tate at power forward. And I could have told you before the season, in fact I did, that playing 2 centers at the same time was a bad idea, especially Daniel Tice. Like, that's just terrible floor spacing. And for the longest time, the Rockets just had really crappy floor spacing. Like, Christian Wood was their best shooter at the time. And since they've inserted Eric Gordon into the lineup, since Jae'Sean Tate has slid down to the power forward position, they're just playing a more free, more open brand of basketball. Christian Wood can play that screen and dive game that's been robbed of him pretty much this entire season. He's had to become this pick and pop guy and this kind of playmaker guy. It's just not him. Like, what makes Christian Wood a good basketball player on the offensive end is he's a really freaking good screen and dive guy that can shoot threes, not a really good pick and pop guy that can screen and dive. I think the Rockets had that mixed up for a while, and for some reason the organization's been so obsessed with pairing him with another big man, right? First it was Kelly Olynyk, and I understand that was kind of what they could salvage from the Victor Oladipo thing, but even so, when they got Kelly Olynyk in hand, they decided to start him next to Christian Wood. I thought that was a bizarre fit. Like, the Rockets seemed to really like it, so much so that they prioritized getting like a defensive center in the offseason, and they chased Daniel Tice. And like from an asset standpoint, like, I understand, like, you have to use this trade exception, and it's smart, like, asset management to go and get Daniel Tice, especially for that price. But here's the thing, from a basketball perspective, I never understood that move. Like, the Rockets at that point had already drafted 2 big men, already had 2 big men playing major rotation minutes in Christian Wood. They just drafted Alperen Şengün, and they drafted Usman Garuba. Like, I didn't understand this idea of bringing in yet another big man into the rotation. Is it really a good asset play if you're not going to showcase the asset in its most ideal position, right? Like, if Daniel Tice isn't going to play major minutes for you, if he's not going to play in his maximized capacity, I'm not sure if it's the best asset play. Like, yeah, it's a good contract, and you know, maybe you'll get the chance to showcase him down the line, but they're definitely not getting a chance to showcase him right now. Like, right now, that's just a dead contract for you. He's not playing any minutes. Like, I think that's the biggest takeaway from these past three games. Christian Wood is dominating, and he's playing what the role he was always meant to play. Like, this was where he succeeded at the beginning of last season. Like, before he hurt his ankle, like, the guy was a dominant big man and on the offensive end. And that's because he got the chance to screen and dive. That's because he got the chance to kind of play freewheeling basketball in an open court setting, and he's getting to do that again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, first of all, with regard to Daniel Tice, I think you have to look at it as, a mistake, or certainly hasn't been a good move, in my opinion, by Rafael Stone. But I think there's been some buzz that was really already underway even before drafting Sengun. And so I think, I maybe give him a pass there. And if it's true that contract is tradable, which, I'm not 100% sure on, then it's okay. But what I really did not like about the signing at the time was that it went beyond 2023.
Right.
It's guaranteed into 2024. And that was what really surprised me, because, so much is, in my opinion, pointing towards 2023 with the cap room and, a couple of years of more of draft picks that you can accumulate. They should be in a very good position with future assets and everything to sort of shift gears from a, lottery team to at least one that's contending for a play-in spot. So, as far as Tice, it has not worked out. I think their hope was, hey, Wood can shoot threes. We got a defensive center in the middle who's our guy who can't shoot. But then, when you bring in Tate, he's not a good shooter. And you mentioned in general the four spacing, but KPJ and Jalen Green both have been pretty terrible shooting threes, at least up to this, but during the 15 game losing streak have been pretty terrible. So the Rockets were one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the league before this 3-game winning streak. So that's what they had to get back to. Christian Wood, that's where he thrives. Steven Silas said it many times last year. That's where he has his greatest advantage. He can take centers and pull them away from the basket on the, when he's on an offensive end. And he's terrific rolling to the basket. So, to me, that's where he needs to be. I think they're going to have to make something happen with Daniel Tice. And, the Rockets have always been the team of threes, the team of spacing. So it was a little odd to see the spacing so poor, for the, good portion of the season to start out. And I think they're starting to get it right now.
Yeah, that was really an organizational shift. If you look at when Rafael Stone became the general manager, the first major move he did was acquiring Christian Wood. Like, they immediately got bigger, and then they kept on getting bigger, as time went on. And now we're at this point where it's like they almost might be too big. Like, they almost may have too many bigs. And I guess we can talk about the trade deadline later, but they're a very traditional, at least they've operated as such. They've operated as very much like a traditional, front office. They like having two bigs. They like having, kind of conventional floor spacing. And in 2021, I just don't know how you can continue playing that way. The Tyson Wood lineups were horrendous. Like, they were negative 22, and it was a big reason, a negative 22 per 100 possessions. And it was a big reason they had one of the worst starting units in the NBA, because those two were on the floor together mucking up the spacing, and the guards didn't have room to penetrate, drive. The pick and roll game was pretty much non-existent. I don't think it's a coincidence that their worst quarters were the first quarter and the third quarter. Like, if you look at their net ratings in terms of throughout the entire game, those are when the starting units play, and those were their worst quarters. And I think it's a large part because their lineups are really, really bad. And I really liked that, I think, much out of kind of panic, right? Like, they lost 15 games in a row. They kind of had to get desperate, and they started Garrett Matthews. And I guess that's kind of where I want to pivot with this. What an incredible story, man. Like, this guy was in the G League 3 weeks ago, literally 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, they called him up. He starts cracking the rotation, mostly because Steven Silas was just trying to get any floor spacing. Armani Brooks started playing more, and he started playing more. And, the difference between him and Armani Brooks is 40 pounds and 2 inches in height, right? Like, that's Garrison Matthews has like a really quick trigger finger. And like, I feel like that's rubbing off on like Armani a little bit. Like, he's starting to shoot more confidently and playing less tight. And like, I really like this kid, man. Like, he's really letting the ball fly from beyond the arc. Whenever he's open, he lets it fly. He knows exactly why he's on the floor, right? It's like, he's not naive about what his role is. He is out there to shoot threes, make threes. That's it. Play the best defense he possibly can, but the Rockets aren't expecting much from him there. They're just expecting him to be a dead-eye shooter and a dead-eye floor spacer, and he's doing that. He's shooting the ball tremendously. I think he was 5 from 11 tonight. It might have been 6 of 12. I didn't look at the final box score, but he was really, really good at shooting the basketball tonight, and he has been that way for the past 3 games. He's probably averaging around 17 points a game, and he's been really, really igniting their runs in these first quarter starts. Like, he, along with Christian Wood, he has been their primary floor spacer. Eric Gordon's obviously done a great job being that vet, obviously being that floor spacing threat he's always been for the past 3 years. But like, this new dynamic they've added with Garrison Matthews, like, they just found this guy, two-way contract, kind of like Daniel House a few years ago, right? Like, you didn't really see it coming until it happened. And he's really contributing in a major, major way. I think that's a nice gem for Rafael Stone.
Yeah, you mentioned House. I was kind of actually thinking it reminded me a little bit of Patrick Beverley, even though he's a completely different player. But just that they just kind of pulled him out of nowhere, and he's a solid contributor. I've been impressed with him. I didn't expect anything. I mean, he's on a two-way contract. And like you said, he understands spacing, he understands positioning and where to be. He sets himself up in the corners, which, he's, like you said, a quick release. He's a threat to make that three, so the defender has to stay within range of him. So it's a huge boost to the Rockets all around. It opens up things for Christian Wood. It opens up things for KPJ. It will open things up for Jalen Green when he gets back. If Jalen Green isn't taking the time of Garrison Matthews, but to me, I've been impressed with him. He's almost reminded me a little bit of like a Joe Harris type. He's not quite as good of a shooter as Harris, but still very good. I think he's around 38-39% this year. So he's been impressive. I've really liked what I've seen from him. And it's going to be hard to get him off the floor as far as if you're trying to win games, because he's shooting so well. And again, I'm not trying to knock Jalen Green. I believe in Jalen Green long term, but he's been terrible shooting the basketball. He's got to get a lot better. And so if you're just putting Jalen Green in for Garrison Matthews, you gain a lot of things, certainly as far as explosion and athleticism, but just flat out shooting, you are taking a step back, at least currently. So we'll see what Jalen Green does with this improved spacing. But as far as what's happened up to this point, that's definitely been, there's been a difference between the two. So I've been really impressed with Garrison.
And Jalen did look pretty good with that improved spacing in that first quarter that they did get to see him with that improved spacing, right? He had like 11 points, 4 or 5 from the field. I think he's going to benefit from the improved floor spacing. I have sincere doubts that they're going to pull him from the starting lineup. My best guess is that they're probably going to pull Garrison Matthews, and Eric Gordon's probably going to get the fifth spot. And I think I don't think that's a crazy decision. That they long term obviously believe in Jalen Green. They took him in the second overall pick in a really stacked draft class. Obviously, they have a lot invested in him working out. I guess that's a nice kind of transition into another guy that is threatening to take a starting spot from these Rockets, and I guess that's John Wall. John Wall, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, wants to return to the team. He met with the Rockets yesterday, more specifically Steven Silas and Rafael Stone, and what they came away with was like, John Wall wants to start and the Rockets want him to come off the bench. And to me, and I guess you kind of tweeted at me yesterday, kind of somewhat disagreeing with what I said, but like, to me, this kind of signaled to like that the organization is pretty headstrong that Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. can be their starting backcourt of the future. Like, they do not want to, you know, give up those starting spots. And it's surprising to me in that, like, you know, if Kevin Porter Jr. becomes anything, like, that's a win. You know, you got him for nothing. I don't know why they need to be so invested in him starting. I understand why Jalen Green, why long-term they want him to be there. Kevin Porter Jr., like, listen, like, I think, you know, getting him for nothing from the Cavs is really impressive. You know, long term, I'm struggling to see him as the starting point guard for the Rockets. I think the efficiency woes, I think the turnover woes, I think the defensive woes, like all that stuff combined into one, I'm not really sure he's the long term option there. I think he can be a really good third guard in the NBA, like a really good third off the bench guard in the NBA. This idea that, you know, that he has to be the starting point guard, or the Rockets really want to get a look at him there. Like, I think they got a pretty good sample size of him at that spot. I'm not saying give up on it, but I'm saying, like, you know, keep him around, but you don't have to necessarily force feed him the starting spot. That to me was interesting. I wrote about it a little bit this morning. You know, like, to me, it is signaling that the organization really views is pretty damn high on the guy. I mean, the way Rafael Stone was talking about him before the draft was like, they think he's a point guard long term. They want him to play point guard. They believe in his passing. I'm iffy on his passing. I think sometimes he can get blinders, and sometimes he misses guys. Sometimes he doesn't get guys on target and on time. Yeah, it's a really you know, interesting season for him, because again, he is up for extensions. He's up for an extension this summer, and if he shows that he is anything like the Rockets front office believes of him, like, he's going to command some significant money. As of this moment, you know, I talked about this with Adam Spolane. Like, I'm not sure I would come aggressively with an offer for Kevin Porter Jr. in the summer, but obviously there's a lot of time left. What's your view on the whole Wall stuff, and more specifically how it signals the front office's views of Kevin Porter Jr.?
Well, I actually, in that tweet reply to you, I was actually agreeing with you, but I'm just saying that they think that it could still be, like, and that it doesn't say that like they're going to be their future. It's just that if Wall comes back, they don't get enough of a look at those guys together to determine that. And you're right, KPJ's extension is coming up this summer. That's a very big deal. I tend to think they'll basically get out of that summer without an extension, just because, you know, cap room and all of those things that you want to preserve. I mean, I look at the Rockets as they're going to add two more, you hope, top of the line talents in 2022 draft and the 2023 draft, and additional first rounders as well. Once you start doling out money, whether that's to Christian Wood or to KPJ or whoever, the big contracts, that is, I mean, it's now limited. And so, you know, you've got three at best. I mean, you look at like a team like the Sixers, they've got three massive contracts, and you know, they're pretty much filling in, you know, a few things here and there as best as they can. And it's going to be the same way with the Rockets as well. So, you know, every decision that you make, you have to look at it before you pay these guys. And I think that's just something, you know, when people talk about possibly trading Christian Wood or anything, you know, from what I've seen from Kevin Porter Jr., I haven't been convinced that this guy's going to be our long-term point guard, that he's the best fit next to Jalen Green. But he's getting better. During this three-game win streak, there's been some definite bright spots. I think there's always the occasional play that reminds you that, okay, he's still, you know, he's not experienced as a point guard. I mean, at the end of the game, end of regulation in that Hornets game, when, you know, he needed to pull it out with the lead and instead drove for a dunk and got fouled. It was a very risky play in the sense that, you know, if he had missed or had that shot blocked, I mean, they could have easily tied the game. And so it was, you know, just a tough situation there. You realize that there's still some things that a normal, you know, experienced point guard would be able to handle. But he's He's got great size. He's fast. He's quick. I'd like to see him be a little bit better shooter. I'd like to see him, you know, take care of the ball a little bit better. But, you know, it's just, in my opinion, I don't think that they're going to come away with an extension this summer. I just think that would be, there's a lot of season left, so we'll see what happens. But I think that would just be premature unless it was just a really good, you know, deal they could get.
Yeah, if I were them, I would play the restricted free agency game. Like, I see no reason why they shouldn't, you know. And obviously, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We're talking the summer of 2023 at that point. But, I mean, that's kind of what I would do. Like, it's just, as of this moment, you know, like, if the season stops today, this is the sample size we get from Kevin Porter Jr. Obviously, there's lots of basketball to be played. But, again, like, he hasn't improved enough in the areas where he needs to improve in, like the turnovers, the assist to turnover ratio, the shooting efficiency, free throw shooting. You know, like, it's a big indicator of 3-point shooting. He hasn't gotten better there. And I think, like, I've seen indications that he can be a pretty good NBA player. Like, don't get me wrong. I think he's an NBA player. I think he's going to have a successful NBA career. My question is how good. Like, I guess I disagree with the Rockets on how good of an NBA career he can have. I think he can. I see him more as like a third guard, feast or famine kind of guy, and I think they see him more as like, you know, the conductor for them long term. And I just like, I'm not there with that. I'm just not there yet with him. But with Wall specifically, you know what? This is one of those situations where like I actually don't think either side is in the wrong. Like, I understand Wall's situation here, right? Like, he is, you know, he can credibly look at the roster and be like, I'm definitely one of the two best guards here, right? He can definitely say, like, yeah, I could make this team a lot better than where they are right now. Like, I could help these guys not only on the basketball court, but development-wise, just being out there on the court and being kind of a conductor for them. And the Rockets can also be like, well, listen, like, you're not our future. Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are. You know, at least that's what they think, right? Like, if that's what they believe, they have a credible case for being like, you know what, like, that's not where we want to go. Like, we understand that you can help us, but the best way you can help us is in this one specific way. And if you don't want to help, if you don't want to contribute in that one specific way, well, it's better to just stick with the status quo, which is you not playing, right? But yeah, I mean, I just don't. I think John Wall's camp is getting a lot of vitriol right now on the internet, and you know, I guess national media wise, like the Rockets are getting a lot of vitriol. I don't think either side deserves that. I actually kind of think like they have both sides have a understandable case, and the more you look at it, the more you understand why they came to the solution they came to before the season.
Yeah, and it's so hard to criticize because, you know, it's his contract that makes this situation impossible. And so it's like, you know, you don't want to deny him what he felt he earned at the time he signed his contract. But it's very, very clear he's not worth that anymore. And it's impossible to move him because of the contract. And so, you know, when NBA players all, you know, join up and say, hey, you know, free this man, or, you know, if they're talking about playing him, that's one thing, but just, you know, letting him go or trade him or what have you. I mean, that's not exactly an easy situation. So, you know, you could go all the way back to the Chris Paul for Westbrook trade for why they're in this quandary to begin with. But yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation. You've got more than a year and a half left on that deal. And, you know, just nobody's going to want to trade for that deal unless you're taking back equivalent dead salary.
Yeah, I was wondering how far into the podcast we would go before you mentioned the Rockets' original sin, you know, with the Westbrook trade. 32 minutes. No, right on the dot. Right on the dot. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, like, this is tough. This is tough. It's going to be weird. The next 3 weeks are going to be weird. Silas said today that they're not done talking. You know, they're going to have more conversations. Wall still has to ramp up. You know, he still has to get back into tip-top shape to play basketball with this group again. You know, my sense is that he is in shape, but he's not, you know, there's a difference between being in shape and being in game shape, and he has to ramp up for that. So that's going to take at least two or three more weeks. He has to have more conversations with the group. So it's interesting, man. Like, this is something that Steven Silas is going to have to navigate.
To me, I just look at John Wall as, like, unless he is specifically helping develop those players, creating open shots for Jalen Green, for example, and making his life easier and teaching him the ropes, I don't see where he helps. He's taking minutes from someone else. He's, you know, if he is helping you win games, is he helping, you know, by helping develop players or just, you know, trying to get up all those shots? And so, you know, it's, there's just, they need to definitely outline what the team goals here are. And if he's on board with that, then great. I'm fine with it. I think most people would be fine with it. But it's just an unfortunate situation. I mean, when they acquired him, then they went out and acquired Oladipo in the Harden trade. I mean, they were trying to win right there. And, you know, that 20 game losing streak just made it so that, you know, this team had to flat out rebuild. You know, it's just John Wall kind of got stuck right in the middle, and it happened pretty fast.
So the Rockets' next three games at OKC to play the Thunder, you know, back in Houston to play the Magic, and back in Houston to play the Pelicans. What's their record in those next three games?
Whew, I'm going to say they're going to win two of the three.
That is that. That's a lot of wins. That's a lot of wins for this Rockets team.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know if they can. In the road game is the one I'm more worried about, even though it is OKC. I think they can win those games at home. I mean, they've been playing pretty well. They seem to have a good little system going here. I am a little concerned about it because they're no longer the worst team in the league. And I have to admit, I was kind of getting used to the fact that they would have no worse than the fifth pick of the draft. But, you know, it's way too early for that. And now they're definitely in the thick of things there. And, the way they're playing, I don't know if they're going to be even bottom three, to be honest, because there's enough teams down there that, you know, I think they could win a few games and push themselves out of that range. So, but, you know, to me, I personally hope, I think this is a great draft up top. I think, especially right now, my top four picks, I think you're going to get an impact player. I'm hoping that they, you know, that they're able to win another lottery spot.
You know what? I'll say they win two of the next three games too. I think they win that OKC game, and I think they win that Pelicans game. I think they lose the Orlando game.
Really? Orlando currently is 4-18.
Yeah, they're due. They're due. They're due for a win. By the way, Cole Anthony's pretty good. Cole Anthony's like surprisingly good season. And Wendell Carter Jr. Did not see that from him. Yeah, I mean, listen, like we're way too early to be discussing tankathon rankings right now. I guess for you, it's never too early, right? You're probably on there every day doing that simulation, right?
Well, no, I'm not there every day, but I certainly, when you lose 15, pretty much, you know, almost out of the gate, and, you know, you kind of have the team that you do, I think, you know, you kind of, you can't help but look at that. Or I think what I do is I really do look at what's the long-term landscape here. Like, and we talked about 2023, and that's when I look at things, and that's when I really want to judge Silas. I want to judge Stone. I want, you know, how are we doing as far as scouting, drafting, putting together a team, a scheme, and I think that's when you make significant changes. Hopefully, you have a solid structure and system in place by then, because you are going to be pursuing free agents, and you want to have at least, man, one or two of the young draft picks that you've drafted be really guys that draw other players in. You know, I mean, the Rockets, I always point out this example that they, you know, tried to trade for Dwight Howard and he didn't want to come here, and they had a chance to trade for Chris Paul. He didn't want to be here. They got James Harden and you didn't even have to try anymore. They both wanted to be here. So the Rockets need that type of a player who can bring in a star or two or what have you. They need somebody to get this process started, whether that's Jalen Green or somebody they get in this draft or the next draft. They need somebody to make other players around the league say, hey, Houston's got something going on. So I think that's why I look at the draft, and because I don't think right now we haven't seen it really yet from Jalen Green, and I don't think we've seen it yet really from any of the players where somebody here is like top five, top 10 player potential just yet.
The all-important cornerstone talent. You don't have to tell me about that. How much Chet Holmgren / Paolo Banchero tape have you watched so far? I'm wondering how deep in the tank are you?
Not super deep. I've watched them both. I've watched Jabari Smith as well. I like Jabari Smith right now, probably as much as Paolo, to be honest. For me, I like Paolo and Jabari Smith. I think Jabari Smith is probably the best fit right now for this Rocket team. But again, you're not talking about fit. You want the best available player. Paolo looks awesome. I mean, he just looks awesome. But I'd like to see him, you know, show some range. I think you got to have range in this game today. It's just such a critical thing. And Chet is, I have him third, but I'm intrigued by him, but I don't want to be the guy who says the same cliche thing, but I really am concerned about his frame.
He makes Zochi look built. Like that's how skinny he is.
And he, you watch him play and he's got kind of a little bit of a mean streak in him that you wouldn't think for a guy who's that thin. I mean, he's smart. He makes good defensive plays, good weak side shot blocker, and lots of positives with him. He can shoot, the strength and the frame is a concern for me.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of it, but I can't say I have too much of an opinion on who's going to go number one, who's going to go number two. I really like Chet. I'll tell you that. I really like his fluidity. But, I like Paolo, too. He's got a really nice frame.
And Jaden Ivey is really impressive, too. Now, he can't shoot. He's not a good shooter. That always concerns me with guards. But, I mean, he is strong and athletic. And, there's definitely some positives for him as well. So, I think this, and you've got guys like Jalen Duren Jaden Hardy as well, and so there's some other guys that could play their way up to the top five. So I just think it's a draft where if you're the worst team in the league, you're going to be in a good position.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I don't see the Rockets winning more than 20 games still. That's where I had them before the season, like kind of in my head, and I haven't wavered on that. Like I think. They may look pretty good right now, but again, like they're at their core, they're still a pretty bad basketball team, and they're going to trade away some of their best players at the deadline. I do believe that's going to happen. Like Eric Gordon is not going to be here past the trade deadline. He is gone. A good team
I would hope so.
Well, I mean, you
to be on a contending team.
Yeah, he and a good team. He's going to really help a contending team. Like that guy is good. I never bought this idea that his contract was bad. I always thought it was fair value, and I think people are starting to see how fair value it is. That guy is just a good role player, good basketball player. Helps teams win. Hey, listen, like I told you I was going to take 20 to 30 minutes out of your time today. I told you I would try to wake you up. We got 44 minutes out of your time today. I think you're plenty awake. You're plenty awake.
You're good, man. It's like no worries at all. Yeah, it's always fun to talk to you about it. And I think as far as this, you talk about the trade deadline. The big question is whether Wood will be traded. I think that's what everyone's curious about because he's thriving right now. And
you're trying to get me in trouble. You're trying to get me in trouble.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I know you did that last year and got in trouble, but I think there are mixed people on it. But I mean, as far as, with a year and a half left on his deal, it's just a matter of this. Do you want to pay Christian Wood $30 million a year and make him one of your three solid pieces? That's what I'm asking. That's what I think people have to ask. You know, is so if not, then you have to look at it and see what's out there.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. Trade deadline is still a bit away. We're approaching December, so you know we're talking 2 or 3 months there. Liz, I really appreciate your time. Where can we follow you on Twitter and read yourself on the website?
It's at Clutch Fans on Twitter, and website is clutchfans.net. And I hope most people know about it, but it's the forums are very active, and that's where most of us are talking about the team.
Yeah, it's crazy how active it remains in the Reddit era, right? Like, you would think Reddit would be taking a big chunk out of that, but you still got really, really active users on there.
Thanks, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, I mean, so many, discussion outlets, but it's remained pretty strong, so
yeah,
appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you down the road, Dave.
All right, man, take care.
Take care.